to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone. Today's podcast is a bit different because it's a mashup of the Author 2.0 featured experts. This is going to be the first of two audios, and I'm going to feature six experts in each, only a few minutes of each of their talks, but hopefully it'll give you a bit of a flavour as to what will be featured in the Author 2.0 course. Author 2.0 does feature over 9 hours of audio from 12 experts, as well as 5 hours of video and over 400 pages of written information. So I'm very excited about it, put a lot of work into it, and it is launching on the 1st of June 2009, and you can register for pre-launch specials at author2.com, author20.com, and that course will teach you all about how to use Web 2.0 tools to write, publish, sell and promote your books. So very exciting. So the first few minutes of audio will be from an interview with John Kremer. John is an expert on book publishing and marketing and is the author of 1001 Ways to Market Your Books, which is now in its sixth edition. His website, www.bookmarket.com, is a wealth of information for authors, and John is featured in Module 5, which is all about being an author entrepreneur. So here's the audio with John.
Many authors, I think that publishers will do the marketing for them. Was that ever true, and is it still true?
Publishers do very little for you. That's always been the case. It will always be the case. The major thing that they have, publishers have going for them is the distribution into the bookstores and whatever other distribution or, you know, like an online presence that they might have.
Mm. So do publishers now coach authors in book marketing, or do they just throw your book at them?
I don't know. Very few publishers have ever coached their authors on how to market books.
Right, so it's really up to the author.
Yeah, every once in a while a publisher will buy, you know, a case or two of my books and give it to some of their authors. But I'm surprised by how many of them really don't want an active author.
And why would that be?
It's like an active author makes them do more work because, you know, the author is sitting there going, well, why didn't you do this? When it was something the author, you know, the publisher should have done. Now, I think the reason that publishers don't like active authors is that some active authors are not active in a smart way, and so they're more like bugs or pests rather than a useful partner. For the authors who are good partners, the publishers will bend over backwards for them. But you got to learn what the publisher can do and what they can't do.
So should authors be including a marketing plan in their pitch to a publisher?
Yes. In fact, they should have a platform if possible before they pitch to a publisher.
So can you explain a bit about that word platform? Because I think it's used a lot in America, but not so much here.
Oh, my. Get used to using it. A platform is essentially just any way that people have come to know you and follow you. So a platform could be a speaking career where a lot of people know you that way. It could be a blog that you do online that has a lot of readers. It could be a website with a lot of visitors. It could be a column you do for the newspapers, a radio show, TV show. Any way that you build up a band of followers, essentially.
And when you say a following, how many people are we talking about? Do you have to have 50,000 people listening to your podcast, for example?
It depends on what it is. I mean, if you had a newspaper column and only, you know, 2,000 people were reading it, it wouldn't be that impressive. But if you had a blog with 2,000 readers, that would be impressive.
Okay.
So it depends on the nature of the media or the platform that you have, what kind of audience you need. Obviously, a publisher would like it if you had 20,000 to 100,000 followers.
I imagine.
Something like, you know, you and I are both on Twitter now, and I don't know exactly how many followers you have right now, but I have over 6,000.
Mm.
That becomes a platform. Publishers, recognize that as something that becomes valuable.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Twitter a bit, because there are a lot of publishers and a lot of agents on Twitter as well. Do you think it's how should authors use Twitter, I guess? They can't just get in there and pitch, but how should they use it?
Well, I think the most important thing that you have is the ability on Twitter to create relationships, to get to know people that you wouldn't necessarily get to know in other ways. And, you know, I think that's where we first connected.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then I started seeing your posts and finding that you were interesting. And then I went to your website and looked at your blog and found that very interesting, you know. So, you know, we started to create a relationship somewhere in there.
Yeah. I agree with you, and it's brilliant. I think it's an amazing tool. And as you say, it is more for creating relationships.
And then it's a way of finding people that will, you know, possibly, you know, people still pay attention to their, you know, the people that Twitter, tweet them.
Mm.
And, you know, it's like email has lost some of that.
Mm.
And even, you know, the old thing, you know, a year ago was making comments on somebody's blog. But I think retweeting somebody now is probably the thing that is going to get people's attention more than anything else right now.
The next section of audio is with Penny Sansevieri. Penny is the author of Red Hot Internet Publicity and a book marketing expert. She has also written books on getting published and creating a bestseller, as well as fiction novels. She also runs a consultancy, Author Marketing Experts, that help authors promote their books online. And Penny is featured in Module 4, which is all about creating your website.
A lot of authors might think that all they do is write their book. So why do authors need to do more than just write? Apart from that, you know, obviously there's a lot of books coming out, but what are the other reasons?
Well, I think that, you know, for many authors, they're tied into a publishing contract, and their book will be given some attention during a certain amount of time. That's usually a pretty short amount of time.
Mm.
If you are published through New York, you know, your book is probably going to get some attention for the first, you know, maybe 90 days or so.
Mm.
And then after that, you know, they're you know, moving on to the next book. So for many authors, you know, obviously the exposure is one of the biggest reasons. But for many authors, you know, they might be part of a 3-book contract. So if the first book doesn't do too well, you know, there's not a lot of hope for the second or the third. And the better that the first book does, the more attention that the second and the third book is going to do. But, you know, for many authors, their book is their platform. So it's the thing that you're building your business on, you're building your speaking on. And a lot of the folks that we work with, you know, speaking of platform and businesses, a lot of folks that we work with, their book is really their business card.
Mm.
So it's an expensive business card, but it's the first exposure that somebody has to them, and it's their way of getting their foot in the door at you know, for various, you know, clients and or speaking events. So there are numerous ways, and you know, I'll tell you something, here in the States, I mean, you've really got to pull out all the stops and do your own marketing. I mean, as I said, unless you're a celebrity, you're pretty much, you know, you're pretty much going to be on your own. That doesn't mean that your publisher is going to ignore you. They're going to do something. But, you know, for the most part, you really want to be prepared to dig into your market.
Yeah, and that's for people with a publisher. So for self-published authors, I imagine you have to do even more.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're a self-published author, you know, anybody can get published.
Yeah.
You can start your own publishing company. You can go to a print-on-demand publisher. The problem is no longer can you get published. The problem is, or the challenge is, can people get your book? So distribution and availability has become significant, and along with the marketing of the book, authors have to make sure that their book can be ordered. You're probably not going to be in every bookstore across the country.
Mm.
You may not even be in every bookstore in your town. Most traditionally published books are not available that way either, again, unless you have just such a big name. But you want to make sure that somebody can go onto Amazon and call up the book and order it, BarnesandNoble.com. You know, you want to make sure that you can go into a bookstore and order the book. Self-published authors, yes, they have the challenge of marketing their own book.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are, you know, they want to make sure that their book is available. And so many of us default to the Internet to buy the book, you know,
yeah,
having a website And, you know, that is also very significant.
Well, I mean, just from a global perspective, I'm obviously in Australia, and I have asked you for an interview because I bought your book through Amazon. I'm not in the US. I wouldn't have found you in a bookshop, you know, so I found you on Amazon. So that's just an encouragement, I guess, to other authors. If you get your book on Amazon, you can have a global audience, can't you?
Yeah, you really can. And, you know, we live in such a global village now that, you know, the boundaries are pretty much gone. I mean, can you have significant sales success and not live in the United States? I mean, absolutely, because the issues that were very specific to U.S. authors are, you know, as I said, thanks to websites and Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble and all of the other online places. I mean, you can get out there and just market your book like crazy.
This next section is with Yarrow Starak, who is an Australian entrepreneur and professional blogger. His blog, www.entrepreneurs-journey.com, offers down-to-earth advice for bloggers and internet marketers. Yarrow is our featured expert in Module 6, which is all about blogging and how you can basically make money from your blog, how you can set up a good blog that gets traffic and that's full of value for people. And I'm on Yarrow's program as a, you know, becoming a better blogger, so I particularly value his input highly. I know he makes money from his blog, so he is one of the respected professionals in the industry, and his interview is jam-packed full of really great advice for people who want to create a successful blog. So here's a section from the Module 6, which is all about blogging.
I can imagine, you know, people sitting there going, oh, this sounds great, you know, blogging is great, but how is it going to help me sell more books? So, you know, how does a blog help you actually make money if you have a product?
Well, if you have a product, you've got it so much easier. It's amazing how many bloggers out there who don't have a product, which means they're putting all this content out there and getting all this attention and not making much money because they're just selling advertising. So if you've got a book or, you know, you already got some sort of package put together that comes after the book or something like that, you've got a huge opportunity. The challenge you face is building an audience. That will always be the most difficult thing. So for someone listening to this who's written a book, what you need to do with a blog was obviously first to set one up and then to go to work creating content that's very similar to the topic of your book. Mm-hmm. So you'd like to think of your book as the solution to the problem, and your blog articles are just covering little tiny different aspects of that problem or, you know, something related to whatever it is you're talking about. And what you will do is you'll write on a regular basis, and then you also start to go interact with other people in your industry who may be writing blogs or interacting in forums or going to other type of community sites on the internet, and just bring some of that traffic back to your blog. But really the most important thing is regular repetition of producing content in your marketplace that challenges people, that entertains, that educates, whatever it is you're trying to do. And then on your blog, you're going to have a link to your book sales page, or maybe you link to your Amazon.com sales page if that's where you sell your book, or perhaps first you'll put them onto an email newsletter which then sells your book. That's a very common format, so it goes from blog to newsletter to book sale, and then maybe to something more complex like an online course. Now it's important to note though that simply writing good content will also get you search engine results. So by just publishing articles on a, you know, bi-weekly, or should I say twice a week or three times a week basis to begin with, we'll start to see that content appear in Google results. Now, I've done this for over 4 years. I've got over 1,000 articles published, and that means I've written close to 250 articles a year, which is almost an article a day when I think back to it, which is ridiculous. I don't write that much nowadays, but I certainly did earlier on. The important point there is I've got 1,000 pieces of content that show up when people do search results for hundreds and thousands of different search terms. So over 40% of the traffic I get are new people coming to my blog every day because they type in some sort of query into Google. They get my blog as a result. They click on the link, visit my blog, they read the article, they enjoy the article, then they join my newsletter or something like that happens. So, you know, that's the very basic formula for using your blog to sell anything. And of course, that includes books.
And you've got a free ebook on your website, haven't you? Blog Profits Blueprint, which explains all that in more detail.
That's right, and that's a perfect example. I like people to find my blog from a search result or someone recommending it to them, maybe sharing it through email or a link from another blog. Read my articles, enjoy the articles, see that blueprint, that free report I give away, opt into my newsletter to get that report, and then I sell my online training program. So that's, in a nutshell, how I make my living and then some on the internet.
Right, so next up we have part of the interview with Mark Coker. Now, Mark is the founder and CEO of Smashwords.com, an ebook retail website. Now, you may have read about Smashwords, or maybe you've even published your ebook on Smashwords yourself. Well, in the module number 3, we talk all about how you can publish your own ebooks in various different formats, how you can get your ebook on the Kindle, and also selling online. So it's a very exciting time. Ebooks are obviously small at the moment, but they're taking off. So module 3 is very exciting. I particularly enjoy the whole ebook area. So I hope you enjoy this small segment of the interview with Mark.
I guess, what's your definition of an ebook? And can you explain a bit about those different formats that you offer on Smashwords? Why are there so many, for example?
Okay. Well, an ebook is really just an electronic book. It's a digital book. And beyond that, it's very much like a regular book. If you think about it, whether it's digital or whether the book is printed, that's just really the packaging for the book. And the book, in the reader's mind, is really defined by the words and the paragraphs and the stories. So ebooks are digitally delivered books. We offer books in multiple ebook formats. And the formats are distinguished by different file names. So your book name will end with, you know, like a period EPUB or a period PDF, if it's a PDF file. Different file formats work on different ebook devices. Also, different file formats have different characteristics. You know, for a lot of people who are new to ebooks, they think that an ebook is a PDF file. But PDF actually isn't really the most popular format for ebooks anymore. We recently did some analysis of tens of thousands of downloads at Smashwords to determine which ebook formats were the most popular. And we found that EPUB was the number one most downloaded file format at 28%, and PDF was a distant second at 19%. And then the next popular file format was just a regular text file, and then the next popular format after that was MOBI and then RTF and some other formats. So what our data shows is that ebook readers want multiple formats. So if you're publishing an ebook, you shouldn't just publish in a single format. You should do multi-format.
Right, but given that a lot of authors are probably quite scared of all these technical details, tell us a bit about the meat grinder and how you don't actually need to know too much to use Smashwords.
Yes, wonderful. Yes, all of these different technical terms are scary to most of us. And it's one of the reasons ebooks haven't yet achieved the mainstream adoption that you would have think they could have by this point. And it's because the technology is confusing to a lot of people. We try to insulate our authors and our readers from all of that complexity. So, as you mentioned, we have a part of the Smashwords service is a technology that we call Meat Grinder. And Meat Grinder takes your Microsoft Word document, takes your manuscript, and it grinds it up, it disassembles it into digital bits, kind of like a meat grinder, and then it reassembles it into all of these different ebook formats. So you basically feed us a single file, and then we spit out 9 different ebooks ready for immediate sale online.
You said it hasn't gone mainstream yet, and, you know, we'd all agree with that. So what is happening at the moment in the publishing industry and with the recession and everything that makes it look as if ebooks might actually take off?
Even before the recession hit, ebooks were taking off. If you look at the, at least according to, here in the U.S., the American Association of Publishers tracks this data, for the last 5-6 years, ebooks have been growing at a compound annual rate of between 50% and 60% every year. And during the same time period, printed books have stagnated and even started to decline as in total overall revenues. So this was before the recession hit, and it appears that now that we're in this global recession, that it's benefiting ebook sales and it's hurting print sales. And this isn't such a surprise because printed books are really, they're really too expensive for the vast majority of the world's literate people.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem facing print. And, you know, if you look at why print books are so expensive, you know, obviously it takes the same amount of expense to write a book and to edit a book and get it ready for publishing. But then once your book hits the printer, you have all of these middlemen who start adding costs to the book. So, you know, you've got to cut down a tree and pulp the tree and turn it into paper. You've got to apply ink to it. You've got to run it through a printing press. You've got to bind it. You've got to apply glue. You need to, put the book in a box and put the box in a truck and then ship the book to a warehouse and then ship the book again to a bookstore. And then if the book doesn't sell right away, the bookstore ships it back to a warehouse and, you know, back to somewhere else. So it's very expensive. It's a lot of cost to the book. It just makes it unaffordable to most people. Obviously, with ebooks, you get to eliminate a lot of those costs.
This next section is an interview with Dan Klass about podcasting. Now, Dan is among the most well-known and well-respected independent podcasters in the US with his award-winning comedy talk podcast, The Bitterest Pill. He's also the co-author of Podcast Solutions, which is a great book. Now, I'm very excited about podcasting at the moment because I've also interviewed a couple of authors lately, JC Hutchins and Seth Harwood, who have gone on to get traditional publishing deals based on the platform they built with podcasting. And obviously this is a podcast and I'm getting into it myself, so I think podcasting is brilliant. And in module 9 we basically show you how you can create your own podcasts and all the different ways you can do it yourself, basically for free or for cheap. So Dan is featured as our expert in module 9, and here is a section from his interview.
So what are the different types of things that you can actually podcast on?
For writers, definitely, and I guess it's probably different for fiction and nonfiction writers. For fiction writers, the most successful thing seems to be, as simple as it sounds, to record your book, yourself, reading your words, and release that on a weekly basis. Now, that sounds easy to do. There's actually a lot of work that goes into that sort of thing. The podcasting authors that seem to do very, very well are very good at reading, they're very good at performing, creating very unique characterizations for each of the characters. So it's a daunting task, but it's also a lot of fun. You can tell the ones that are good at it are actually having an absolute blast. So that is definitely, like I say, especially for fiction writers, the main thing. If you're writing nonfiction books, obviously there's maybe a little more leeway where you're not quite as bound to podcast the text per se, but you can interview people within your sphere of influence, whatever the topic, you know, the subject matter of the book is, have interviews with the people that support your, you know, whatever it is. But when we did Podcast Solutions, we did a bunch of interviews for the book, and we ended up using those interviews to write the book, but we also released a lot of those interviews in podcast form. And what that does is give the reader additional information, but it also built interest in the book while we were writing the book.
Mm.
So before it was even finished, before it even went to print, there were thousands of people that knew it was coming and had a fairly decent idea what it would be about and the kind of information that would be there based on the interviews. You're in kind of this unique situation where you can start to promote the book before you're even done writing the book. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's a great point. I already did interview JC Hutchins, actually, and I guess the point with him is that he did the podcast before he ever got a book deal. So it can it can help build that, can't it?
Well, yeah, because basically, JC is in an ever-expanding group of people that have done that, where, and I know Scott Sigler, I don't know if you know Scott, Scott is probably the best known of these authors, but Scott and JC, Seth Harwood, who I know you're going to speak with sometime soon. Yeah, what they built an audience, podcasting their books, and then gone to publishers and said to the publishers, hey, listen, I have tens of thousands of listeners every week downloading these shows. Let's, you know, let's do business together. Let's have you publish the book. I will continue to market it and promote it in the way that I have been doing.
Mm.
And let's see what we can get going. And it has been tremendously successful. Scott Sigler, who granted is a writing juggernaut, I'm not sure Sigler actually sleeps. He's been putting out new content on a weekly basis, I think, for 4 years now. But recently, gosh, what was it, about a month ago, he made the New York Times bestseller list, which in the United States is the grand poobah, if you will, of bestseller lists. How did he do that? He did that by podcasting novel after novel after novel and growing such a huge and devoted fan base that he could say to that fan base, hey, listen, the book is coming out on such and such a date. If you're going to buy it, do me the favor of buying it from somewhere that reports to the New York Times bestseller list. And that's what they did, and he made the list. And from now on, and forevermore, he is Scott Sigler, New York Times bestselling author.
The next section is part of an interview with Chris Knight. Chris is CEO of ezinearticles.com, an online article publishing platform, as well as being an entrepreneur. Chris talks about how articles are a great way to build traffic to your website or blog, and Chris tells us all about how to do that in the interview. So here is a short segment.
Tell us a bit more about ezine articles and what the site is.
Yeah, ezinearticles.com is a matching service between expert authors in over 600 different niche markets, and then we match up those lower 160,000 expert authors. We match them up with email newsletter publishers and others who are looking to promote their content. So there's a problem. Originally, the site was a matching service between ezine publishers only. Okay, so an ezine publisher, an email newsletter publisher, is someone who publishes a newsletter. And everyone who publishes a newsletter on a very frequent basis has one keen problem. They need to find supplemental content to add value to their newsletter, because producing a newsletter every day or every week or every other week is, it's a lot of work. ezinearticles.com serves as a site that you can come to, and you can grab up to 25 articles for free. You can essentially take them, and you can reprint them in your email newsletter or your website or your ezine archives, and you can do that for free as long as you adhere to the publisher terms of service, which is really simple. It just means that you can't change the article. You have to reprint the entire article with the link active. So we've kind of created a little economy here of exchange between hundreds of thousands of expert authors and then millions of our visitors who surf the site monthly. So the authors give us the content for free in exchange for traffic back to their website. Okay?
Hmm.
And so on a weekly basis, we deliver just a little over 1 million visitors leave our site every week, and they go to our members' websites. So that's the incentive. That's the reason why I think we have the high volume of incoming content. It's a little over 1 million articles, and they come in at a rate of about, 3,000 to 6,000 a day, 7,000 a day incoming. And on a monthly basis, we receive over 15 million unique visitors, and that's a little over 20 million non-unique visitors. So it's a great way for a budding expert or an established expert in any niche to find a way to get an audience, get exposure, and get traffic back to their website.
Mm, that's great. And you mentioned the phrase niche markets. Can you just explain that a bit more? Because I think that it's quite a marketing term, perhaps. And if we think about an author, how can they find their niche market?
how can they find their niche? Well, everyone has an expertise of some kind, whether it be, you know, yoga, for example, skiing, it could be finance, it could be knitting, it could be name your, you know, it could be writing, copywriting, it could be. No matter what the niche is, it's an ideal author to us is someone who has figured out which niche they're in. Where is your core expertise? And how are you able to leverage that expertise? Is it because you've written about it in a book? Is it because you have a newsletter about it? Do you have a platform? It's like kind of like easynarticles.com is a platform for those who are platform building. Maybe do you use that term? Building your platform. Usually you write a book to build your platform, but you also then. It's kind of like a cart before the horse before the cart issue, where how do you sell someone, if you're not going to self-publish the book, how do you build a platform before you have the platform? So article writing is one way to build that platform, because it's essentially a grassroots type of marketing.
Okay, so that's the end of today's podcast. That's six little sections from some of the featured experts from the Author 2.0 program. So again, if you are interested in finding out more about Author 2.0 program, you can go and have a look at the video and read some of the information at www.author20.com. That's the word author, then the number 2, then zero.com. And again, there is over 9 hours of audio from experts. There's 5 hours of video, and each of the audios has a transcript. And there's also module information for each area on how you can actually do these things. So how you can build your own blog, how you can do social networking, how you can create your own ebooks, how you can self-publish, how you can do a podcast. So much information. I've spent a lot of time on this, so I'm very passionate about sharing all of that with you. So if you're interested in that, go and pre-register at author20.com, or you can email me directly if you have any questions, and I'll be back soon with another podcast. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!